Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Fred Trink. We're a little bit rusty there, Carl. I think your recent vacation has got you off your game.
That's right. Well, I picked up a little cold while I was out.
Okay. Well, you sound good. Good to hear from you and glad you're back.
Yeah.
But you,
glad
you
to just, be back.
I had to hit record real quick because you said, oh, I got this call the other day.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, we got to deal with that.
So, yeah, I got this call that was just fascinating. We're a good friend and colleague. Talking about the use of AI and FMEA, considering, you know, what would happen or how would it work to you have AI essentially do the FMEAs, and that put me back and made me think. It's just such a huge topic today, with AI basically interfacing with so much of our activities. In our daily life and our businesses, that type of thing. It made me rethink the subject of FMEA and how it can interact with model-based engineering, how it can interact with databases and what I call pre-population before you get to the teams, and really what the role of the team is. And so I needed to update my thoughts on this subject since the advent, the last couple of years, of AI. Now, AI has been around longer than that, but I mean, the last couple of years is really ramping up.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean for FMEA today and in the future? Where are we headed? So I just thought that'd be an interesting one to talk over with you.
Well, the way you introduced that is that I was thinking this is going to be a very short topic. We would both say, what are you thinking? What are you crazy? And which is my gut reaction is I have been underwhelmed, and obviously I'm not spending a bunch of time on it. I'm not, you know, practicing and trying to hone my prompts and stuff like that. Yet I can see why somebody would think of it is if you have to put 8 people in the room for 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever time we deal with it, even when it's very well facilitated and everything else, it's still 8 to 10 people away from their primary job. And you and I would argue that part of their primary job is FMEA to figure out, are they doing, they're working on the right things and stuff like that and come to an understanding. Yet it's, that's easy to add up how much that costs the organization. And then if we're doing it like we should be doing it on an ongoing basis and coming back and looking at other subsystems or looking at the manufacturing, you know, the process FMEA and other pieces of that, that ends up tallying up to some, you know, some percentage of your development team's budget for man hours.
Yeah, you're so right.
But the hard part is, well, you know, we do the study and then we end up with this spreadsheet or report or whatever. If it's being done well, then it actually guides direction and work and everything else. And then you can calculate some value out of it. In an organization where it's just a checklist, you know, why even try to fill out the form? But, you know, if you're required to, then have outsource it. And that costs money. If you can do it with AI internally, then it won't cost as much. And I get that argument. And I think there's something fundamentally missing by saying this new shiny widget we have can really save us money. And I'm really hesitant to endorse that.
Yeah, it's a moving target. And I have a lot of thoughts on this subject to pack into a podcast. It's emotional and it's rational. There's a lot of things going on here. By emotional, I mean we want products to work. We want products to be safe and reliable. That's the emotional side of it. So it's so important that you don't want to compromise that. There's different dimensions to this, which is I've kept a running list of the primary ways to reduce the amount of in-meeting time on FMEAs. And there are specific ways to do that, really the subject of another podcast. But that we have to keep front and center because it isn't a matter of a old style checklist exercise versus AI, because the old style checklist exercise is wrong.
Yeah.
It's a matter of if you do FMEAs right with the right team, the right subject prioritized, well facilitated, and get excellent results, how does that compare?
Yeah. And that's where I'd rather focus on, because if you're already doing really poor FMEAs, my advice is just stop. Don't bother. You know, if
AI is not going to help you.
AI is not going to help you because nobody's going to read it. If it's, you know, somebody has to fill it out for you, or if you outsource it, those are expenses too. Yet if it's not of any value, just don't do it. So let's assume that it's a team that already has a decent program. They have good facilitators. They get good value out of their FMEAs. They come through with, you know, focus for their teams, and they find things that they need to work on, and then have some discoveries. It guides their testing. It guides their design decisions, which is, to me, a better definition of a successful FMEA program. Let's assume that that's the group they're in. So if any listeners are not in that group, go stop doing the bad stuff, and AI won't help.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay. So we'll start at that point, which is you have a good program. You've already done your work. You have people trained. You're getting good results.
Mm-hmm.
How can AI help? It is not bimodal. It is not AI or not.
Well, that's the impression I got with that phone call, is we want to have AI do our FMEAs for me. And that smacks to me of it's a different way to outsource it to somebody else.
And the answer is it's not going to work.
Now we're back to the short podcast. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
But now here's where it does work. There is going to be incrementally more and more use of good artificial intelligence in support, augmenting FMEA.
Well, I'm thinking of a great example is you got this failure mode. It won't power on. Let's say it's a computer, right? It won't power on. We could spend 2 minutes brainstorming the 15 ways that could happen, or we could pre-populate it with the AI saying, well, here's the 15 most common ways from your customer service reps and repair centers of why it doesn't work. And here's a couple others that fill in it.
But let's build on that example. That's a good example, Fred. I would not have the AI populate that field and then that's the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So therefore, AI becomes an input to your thought. Your thought starters. Here's all the ways that have happened on the XYZ program, the ABC program, that has failed. Here's the consequence of it and stuff like that. That's great input. Now, what the wrong way would be say, okay, good, that's the FMEA.
Well, it's what I'm thinking of is that I think it's tricky as a facilitator, depending on the group or team you have. If, you know, you got a group there and they're looking at the clock and the people you want in the meeting are usually people that are already pretty busy and engaged with lots of things in that program. Mm-hmm. And we say, all right, let's just, you know, there's a failure mode. And ask AI, what are the common failure mechanisms for this or causes for this? And it gives us a list. If the team understand that that's an input to the brainstorming part or their experience, and then it sparks a discussion, it's missing this, this is important, this one's not important, this one happens a lot, this one doesn't happen a lot, that's great. What I'm afraid of is that if we do that in practice, that the team will go, okay, that looks good.
Exactly,
and not do the discussion. I think that's the facilitator's role.
Exactly.
When and where do you bring that in so it's useful?
So the facilitator has to be good, has to know what they're doing, has to understand the principles, and has to move towards the right outcome and not accept the AI-generated spreadsheet. So if you look at it as input, like here's 17 ways that this product could fail and the various mechanisms, then it comes down to what do you enter on the database or the spreadsheet. And that should be areas of concern. And that's the kind of thing I want to bring up here is as a human, I'm looking for areas of concern. If I'm in an FMEA meeting, sure, I can brainstorm a thousand ways something and not work.
Yeah, that's why you're not invited to these meetings anymore.
Yeah. and if no one's concerned about it, the asteroid hitting whatever, and it's just not on the radar, well, then no reason to take it up. It's just wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, where AI doesn't make that judgment. Although a good prompt might say, what are the dominant or most frequent ones? Is add the scoring or leveling to it. But it's more one of the values of that team getting together and discussing it, I believe, can be streamlined if you have it pre-populated or if you have it. So what do you think of this idea? You have a secondary facilitator that's on the keyboard and you ring up, hey, it won't power on, and they type in, and not sharing it, but type in to AI, what are the, causes of this for our product? And then let the team do the discussion, the brainstorm, and then that person chimes in and says, how about this? It's a person adding it that has a maybe not the expertise of everybody else in the room, but really knows how to use AI to get effective responses. It's a different skill set than an electrical engineer, for example.
It's an interesting idea, Fred. We'll call it an AI bot as a team member.
Right. And have a person, managing that, but then filtering it instead of displaying it and saying, because what happens when you anchor a brainstorm? Then we kind of, if we get a bunch of responses and it gets on the board, then we kind of work around those only. Whereas exactly. The team may come at it and go, how about this? The effect on supply chain and this one over here, that they bring different views and scopes. Whereas AI has a different algorithm to their point of view. And it's so dependent on the prompts. But I think it would supplement not as the starting point, but as an augment to it, saying, I think we missed this one. This, how about this topic?
In fact, we can call it AI augmented FMEA. Yeah. In other words, that would put it in the right role, because I don't think that you can replace the human intellect and creativity and experience. It maybe someday, but I don't think it's there for some time. So the AI can help pre-populate. And I agree with you that you don't want the pre-population to be what you look at.
Right.
And that's one of the mistakes people make, is they say, okay, here's the 17 ways, and then they only look at the 17.
And then you go yes, no kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's
yes, no, yes, no. Yeah. And then you miss what isn't there, which could be the biggest thing of all.
Right.
So, okay, that's one point. Another point is let me just build on this area of concerns again. And I don't know where this will go. I'd be curious your point of view, but I've always used the following rule. If I put the right people in a room, let's say six well-selected subject matter experts, different backgrounds, different roles, and no one in that good team is concerned about a particular failure mode that somebody brainstormed or a particular item, then I don't take it up in the FMEA. But if one person, not a majority, but one person is concerned, then I take it up and discuss it until I get to consensus.
Yep.
So that's the rule that I use. What do you think?
I've done that. It's the trouble is, and you have to have people that understand FMEA and what the objective is. And it's, I'm concerned about that asteroid after all, and like, I usually add the filter of, is there anything we can do about that that's a practical, that we can still sell this product kind of thing. It's like,
right.
There's a filter on it going, that might happen. And we're not going to design a product. We're not going to fix manufacturing. We're not going to do anything about it. So it's really, we're not going to take that up. Even if one person really wants to. And
I agree with that. In other words, one person isn't the gate. One person is the gate for discussion, but it takes the entire team. And so if you're on that team, you're going to say, yeah, but.
Well, I say yes, and. But it's the idea is that it's Yes, that is a concern. It's statistically possible to occur, whatever the topic is, maybe not an asteroid. But the idea is that I think the first part of that discussion, the way I would run it, is suspecting that it's, or maybe I just don't know as a facilitator. So is there anything we can do about that in a practical, meaningful way? Mm-hmm. And is it really going to happen that often? Is it, just gut feel without getting into all the rankings and stuff, is this something that we need to take up with the filter of, can we actually do anything about this? And that usually gets rid of the frivolous ones in my mind. You do that once or twice and then they just don't come up anymore. We focus on the either high occurrence or high consequence or that combination. It tends to corral the group from going wild. And I'm the victim of that a couple of times. I gotten on brains, getting in an FMEA and you brainstorm, and I love coming up with ideas.
Yeah. Oh, you can brainstorm to infinity. There's like no limit.
Yeah. So it's kind of corralling that a little bit without stifling it. Now there's one part that I think that the AI, even as an agent in it, and let's say hypothetically in a couple of, the rate this stuff's improving, like tomorrow or this afternoon, it can actually make a well thought out one that would be in, say somebody does a blind test, they have 10 FMEAs on different topics, and then you feed it, somebody feeds information into a AI system and it comes out with, indistinguishable results in the spreadsheet. And we recommend you do these three actions and the other one says, yeah, do those three actions. That would mean that the FMEA and what it's outputting from a group or from a bot are very similar. Now, I think that's interesting, but I also think it's not terribly useful for the organization. And the reason is that those six people with different views and different parts of the organization or different expertise and stuff like that, the time they spend discussing it and getting to a consensus aligns their part of the organization. It aligns their work with the common work. The chance that a generated report that they get to read will create that alignment and acceptance that that's the path to take, in my experience, is nearly nil.
Well, okay, that's a great additional comment to the discussion, which is the personal involvement of the subject matter experts. They're really deeply talking about, and that's the whole point of, remember this discussion with Toyota, mm-hmm. who does a wonderful job on design, and talk about deep discussion. That's a value. Mm-hmm. And that deep discussion of those subject matter experts involves them in the solution that they come up with, and it's more likely to get executed, right? Whereas a spreadsheet doesn't execute itself.
Right. Yeah. That's a very good point. What I think so many people miss out of what the value proposition of it is. And I know I've told the story before. I was walking into an FMEA and the software manager for this pretty complicated system was like, I know what the problem is. I need more engineers. I need this. I need that. I need all these resources and everything else. And I'm like, what? Can you give it a couple hours here? We're going to, we'll have a break. Then you let me know what you think. And we started and it was kind of how could it fail and some of the major causes. And we've kind of working our way through it and got pretty deep, deep discussions already in this stuff. And at the break, and I asked the guy, so you were not really chiming in too much. He added a few things. I appreciate that. But what do you think? And he goes, the mechanical team has so many more problems and more complex problems than I do. I'm going to stop asking for extra resources. I got to figure out how to help them.
Very good.
And the program director, kind of knew that this guy was just, it's all about my empire. It's all about my project and stuff like that without a clean understanding of the other ones. And that's where he said, yeah, bringing you in as a facilitator, I was kind of doubtful about it, but you just paid for it in the first hour with by getting the software team on in line with where the real problems
beautiful,
are.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we've come up with some areas where we have to be cautious about AI, mm-hmm. but there's also some areas where I think AI can be, and you pointed out that right at the beginning, if you can ask the question, what are the ways that this thing has failed, et cetera. If it's been populated, if the AI has been trained with the right information, it can be a wonderful participator, like an AI bot mm-hmm. in the team, because they can provide that information instantly. Whereas sometimes you'd have to take a break and somebody would have to go off and do the research. So there's points of interface where that instantaneous research keeps the team dynamic going. Mm-hmm. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't solve the biggest problem I see in an FMEA is I'll call it blind spots. Mm-hmm. And that's why you want the team. You want the right team of people to look at something from different points of view, and that'll compensate for the blind spots that every engineer has.
Yeah.
And that's what I see missing in the AI discussion, because whoever programs the AI or what the AI is trained on can have blind spots. And that's happened over and over in some of the initial trials.
Yeah. And there's also, it reminds me of the software packages that say, well, capacitors fail open or closed, open or short or, degraded. And so they say, well, if you have a capacitor on your bill of material, we can populate that. So it promotes the idea of every component-based FMEA, and then you pre-populate with all this stuff. And they completely miss the idea that, no, you got to focus. Don't waste your time doing all this stuff. Yeah, you can automate it, but it's still a waste of time. I got 28 pages now.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it makes it so cluttered that the team, it takes a miracle for the team to get on the deep discussions on what's important.
That's where a good facilitator helps, because it keeps the team focused on the priorities, mm-hmm. what the objectives are. If I were just wrapping up on this topic, and there's no way to wrap up, I'm just for this podcast, this is opening the door. But just for this one, this is a deep subject, and we're going to be, I want to keep my mind open that AI can increasingly help to as augmentation, as support for an FMEA. But I'm going to be very careful about AI taking over the FMEA. That's my little summary on this.
Yeah, and that's where I thought this would be a really short one. Like, if it was, the idea was to have AI do the complete report and study, and then you come back with three recommendations. I'm like, no.
Nope. We're not there. I don't know whether we'll ever be there. I don't want to say that, but we're certainly not there, and not for some time. There's a human involvement that's essential.
Yeah. Yeah, some programs talk about the human in the loop. It's an AI-generated system that is actually making decisions, yet there's a human to oversee it. And more, like autonomous vehicles, there's not a human there. It says, oh, there should be a stop sign here, so I'll stop anyway, kind of thing.
Right.
And that's still evolving and growing, and there's lots of money getting put into it. That it's, instead of having a human in the loop with AI to do FMEA, where somebody reviews it and checks it and stuff, I think we're flipping that and saying, no, it's the humans with an AI in the loop to support.
Yes.
It's kind of the use of lingo that way.
Good way to put it. Yeah. If you're listening to this, I'll guarantee you there's a lot of people out there that have thoughts, concerns, ideas on the subject of AI interface with FMEA. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, and you can do that over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. Sorry about that. Go/SOR. A couple of ways to get in touch with us. Carl and I and the other hosts, as we always say, are available, and we are always available through LinkedIn and our About pages. So plenty of ways for you to get in touch. And apparently, Carl, you got a phone call. Somebody knew your number, gave you a call, which is fine. But the idea is that, Carl and I have our opinions on this, and I'm quite sure everybody else does too. And you may have way more experience at working with AI and doing FMEAs or other reliability tasks. We'd love to hear about it. And success stories or trouble parts, you know. And it, I think it will help our entire field and audience. I'm presuming that everybody that's a serious reliability engineer listens to this podcast, of course, that it could help, you know, let's make it part of the discussion. So please do get in touch. So thanks for sharing that, Carl. And hopefully you straighten out your buddy there. That's that you just don't turn it over to the machine.
Very good, Fred.
We'll talk to you later, Carl.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.